Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. This is the reading of God's word. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Bless your people who are hearing your word, that our faith will grow. And through your word, let us have this sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see clearly what he has done and accomplished for us. Let us rejoice and give him all the glory and thanksgiving. Be with the person who is preaching, and we pray that by your grace, that your word will be preached correctly. And be with all of us who are hearing your word, that we may understand and believe and obey your word to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 through 29. We're going to look at these verses for 4 weeks. So today and 3 more times. We'll look at the big picture today. And next 3 Lord's Days, we'll look at them in more details. In verse 23, Apostle Paul said that he was made a minister of the gospel. Now in verse 25, he returns to the same topic. He says, of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. God made Paul a minister of his ministry, according to the stewardship that God has bestowed on Paul. Now this stewardship, well, who is a steward? The closest thing today would be a manager. He is not the owner, but he serves and supervises according to the will of the owner. A steward must do his duties according to the desires of the owner and for the benefit of the owner. As a manager, you don't just do whatever you want. And you do everything to benefit the owner. That's your job. Now, this stewardship that God has bestowed on Paul is for your benefit, Paul says. For the benefit of the church, the body of Christ. In the context of Colossians, it should read, for the benefit of the Gentile Christians. So that Paul might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. Thus, God bestowed on Paul the stewardship of fully carrying out the preaching of the Word of God. Or God entrusted Paul his Word. Paul is a steward of God's Word. And the content of that word which God entrusted Paul is found in verses 26 and 27. That is the preaching that he does. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery. See, Paul was preaching the Word of God. That Word of God is a mystery that has been hidden from the past ages and generations. Until the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, meaning during the Old Testament times, this mystery was not fully revealed. But now, with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it has now been manifested to his saints, to his people, to his church, more precisely to the Gentile churches. And he says that mystery is Jesus Christ, or the will of God that he accomplishes in and through Jesus Christ. And what is that will of God that God has accomplished in and through Jesus Christ? Well, now Gentiles, because of what Jesus Christ has done, Gentiles are now equal fellow citizens of the kingdom of God with the Jews. This mystery is now been manifested to God's saints. To saints, God will to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. You see, all this was not fully revealed during the Old Testament time, but now in Jesus Christ, it is fully revealed. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages have been hidden in God who created all things. Now, it is very important that we understand these passages correctly, because so many Christians out there, they have misunderstanding of these passages. Of course, we could find many verses in the Old Testament that point to the fact that the Gentiles will be participating in the salvation of God. Nevertheless, it was not clear in the Old Testament. Especially for the fact that during the Old Testament, The Gentiles were not the citizens of God's kingdom, Israel. So you have to understand, unless God fully reveals His will, let's say you are living, you know, 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago, and you are a Jew, it's hard for you to understand that the Gentiles will be included in God's kingdom. Because they thought, Jews thought that they are the only ones that God has called as His people. But you and I, we study this so much, and we will continue to do so. Like I said, next 3 weeks, we're going to look at some of these issues more in more details. But during the Old Testament time, the Gentiles were considered unclean. Gentiles meaning everybody but Jews. So you and I, we're Gentiles. During the Old Testament time, Gentiles were considered unclean. And they were oftentimes the enemies of Israel, God's kingdom. So if you base your understanding solely on worldly perspective, then the will of God that the Gentiles will be equal fellow citizens of the eternal kingdom of God will be not clear to you. Because they were taught that the Gentiles were unclean. But see, now we understand with the teaching of the New Testament, we know how we have to read the Old Testament. You have to read the Old Testament in terms of what Jesus Christ accomplishes. So everything you see in the Old Testament was a typological. Even Israel was a typological kingdom of God. It was not true eternal kingdom of God, but God used that type kingdom to point to the eternal kingdom, the true kingdom, heaven. But without that understanding, let's say you were living back then and you look at Israel and how God called them, only Israel, as God's kingdom, it's not going to be clear of what ultimate will of God is by looking at what was going on back then. So you have to understand, you have to appreciate Jews at the time of Jesus, when Jesus first came, they just could not believe what Jesus was telling them. Up to that point, God has taught them to avoid contact with Gentiles because they were unclean. And here comes Jesus going to unclean people and eating and drinking with unclean people, and bringing the good news to them. Think about it. If you were a Jew at the time, what would be your reaction to that? See, unless God gives you the true understanding, you had to reject Jesus. And this Jesus sent Paul to Gentile people, Gentile nations, to preach the good news, the ultimate purpose of God. No wonder Paul was persecuted by the Jews at that time. But from the very beginning, God's will was that He would save every kinds of people from every nations and tribes and tongue and peoples. That was His intention. That was His will from the very beginning. But during the Old Testament time, He chose Israel to teach us, using that as a type to teach us what ultimately, what Jesus Christ will come and accomplish. But they thought, these Jews were thinking that Old Testament itself was ultimate.
that's it. That's the final will of God. Only Jews as God's people. But we know now that, no, Old Testament is not ultimate. Jesus Christ is the ultimate. And what he accomplishes is the ultimate. So Paul had, humanly speaking, hard time explaining this to Jews. Even he himself did not understand back then. So they were persecuting, he was persecuting the church. But this risen Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, met him and gave him the revelation so that Paul now understands the ultimate will of God. That from the very beginning, God's people will be consist of people from every nations and every tribes and every tongue. See, you and I, we probably heard this so many times, and you probably take it for granted that, oh yeah, I am a member of God's kingdom. So there might not be that much excitement about hearing this, but you should really be excited to hear this. Because for many thousands of years, this mystery was hidden. The people did not know the ultimate purpose of God. And now Jesus Christ comes and reveals to us. And he uses people like Paul. He sends him to show us what Christ has accomplished. That what is the ultimate will of God. It's not that God favored the Israelites or Jews more than anybody else. That was not what was going on. Now in Christ, Jews and Gentiles were fellow citizens of one kingdom of God, one people of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, you are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That was how we were. That was how Gentiles were. We were not included in the membership of Israel. Were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, who were strangers to the covenant that God had made with Israel, having no hope without God in the world. But in and through Jesus Christ, what he has done and accomplished, verse 19 says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. When God said Abraham and his descendant, we thought God was referring only to the Jews. But in reality, the Gentiles were also included in Abraham's descendant. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. During the Old Testament time, the Gentiles were not able to be with the Jews. Acts chapter 10, verse 28, and he, Peter, said to them, Gentiles, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy, unclean, or unclean. In Jesus Christ, you see, the new age has begun. In Jesus Christ, the old has passed away and the new has come. And as far as we are concerned, this world has passed away and the eternal world has come in Jesus Christ. Thus, everything that is in this world has passed away. All the divisions of this world has passed away in Jesus Christ. And now, Jesus Christ is everything. No longer by anything else but Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. He is the salvation. The answer to all the questions. Jesus is the method and Jesus is the purpose. It is no longer about being ethnic Jews or not, or you being rich or poor. Every category that belongs to this world, it doesn't concern us anymore. Jesus Christ is the only division. If there will be any division among people, it is Jesus Christ. He is the only division. Either you are in Him or you are not. That's only division that exists today and forever. Remember that. It is no longer about anything else, but it is all about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the mystery that Paul preaches. And only in Jesus Christ we know the will of God, the method of God, the purpose of God, the wisdom of God, and the power of God. Jesus Christ reveals all to us, fully reveals all to us. So without Christ, Paul says it is like having a towel covering your eyes. What's the picture? You cover your eyes with towel, you're not going to be able to see clearly. That's how the people read the Old Testament. With towel covering their eyes so that they don't understand the Old Testament at all. And Jesus says in 2 Corinthians that this towel will be uncovered in your eyes only when you come to Christ. Only when you come to Christ, you will fully now understand what God was doing in the Old Testament. And we could fully understand the will of God, ultimate will of God, how Gentiles and Jews together will be people of God. But as you know, even now, today, that there's so many Christians, I would even say majority of Christians in the United States of America, who still believe that there are two kinds of people of God. They still divide Jews and Gentiles. Even though Paul clearly teaches us that is not how we are to understand anymore. No, it doesn't matter whether you are a Gentile or a Jew. What matters is Jesus Christ. Are you in Him or are you not? So you have to understand the whole Bible in Christ.
Otherwise, you will not understand. I mean, you think you might, you know, you're understanding, but you're not.
Now then, how does Paul achieve this stewardship that was bestowed on him by our God? Verse 28, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. How does Paul achieve the stewardship that was bestowed on him by our God? By proclaiming Jesus Christ. And through the word of God, he admonishes and he teaches, so that Paul may present every man that he teaches, he proclaiming Jesus to, that he would present him or her complete in Christ. So that Paul may present every man complete in Christ. This is the very work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what Paul is doing is the very work that Jesus Christ is doing and accomplishing. Because in chapter 1, verse 22, now this verse 22 is referring to Christ. He has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Paul is doing the same work that the Jesus Christ has done and is doing even now. I mean, of course, that is our understanding, that everything that we do, it has to be in terms of participating in the life of Christ. See, you got to understand that you cannot be separated from Christ anymore. If you are Christian, then you are united to Christ in every aspect. Except one, that you're not God. You will never be God. But other than that, you will be like him. And that you are united to him. So you need to understand your life in terms of your union with Christ. Every meaning, every definition that you will give to what you do has to be in terms of Christ. Otherwise, then you don't get it. And it's not good not getting it. Now, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, God has bestowed on you and me the stewardship also. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Our stewardship that God has bestowed on us is for serving one another. We are amazed by this, aren't we? The fact that we are stewards of God. It means that God has entrusted to us this stewardship. Let me ask it this way. Do you use anybody as your manager? If you own a company, will you go out and just use anybody as your manager? Obviously, the answer is no. You will employ someone that you could trust, someone that you acknowledged, someone that you could depend on, all that. I mean, the qualification will be like many, many things, and you will find someone who could meet all that qualifications. And yet, God
made you a steward. He acknowledges you. God accepts you and approves you. Of course, our qualification is in Jesus Christ. Yes, like Paul said, we are what we are by the grace of God. God made us His stewards. Are we able to do well? Well, God gives us answer in verse 29. Paul says, "For this purpose also I labor, striving according to His power, which mightily works within me." Look at how Paul works. Look at how he lives his life. Look at how he's being a good steward. He says, "I labor, I strive according to His power, which mightily works in me." Do you understand? Obviously, on your own strength, you will fail. I mean, that's guaranteed. And that's not living by faith. See, that's the problem. So many Christians somehow, you know, what Bible says is something that you hear and it's like outside of you. And somehow now it's all up to you, and with your own strength and your own power, now you have to do something. Man, that is not Christianity. That's why so many people fail and fail and fail, because of course if it is on your own strength, you will fail. But look at how Paul does. He says, "I strive according to His power, which is working within me." See, very first thing, before you do anything, is that you need to believe that God is in you. He is working in you. He lives in you. And there's a purpose in what He does in you. You need to believe. And I don't think many people do believe. Oh yeah, if I set you down and ask this question, do you believe that God lives in you? You will say, yeah. But when you go out there and actually you live your life, you don't think like that. It's not part of your belief, because it's not part of your life. It's like you cannot treat Bible like any other subjects that you learn in college or high school or your school. See, when you study business, for example, you are studying business in theory. They teach you the theory of business. And you learn that, but you will not use what you learn in your life. When you come out of that college and you start your business, you're not going to do what you learn. It's many times it's stupid to do what you learn. So you're going to do business, but knowing all those theories, but you're not going to follow it. So many times, so many people treat Bible like that. That somehow these are just theories. But when you live your life, actually live your life out there, it has nothing to do with your life. It's just theories. That means you're not really believing it. You're not living by faith. What you read in the Bible is your reality. This is your reality. This is who you are. This is what Christ has done and what He has made you to be. This is you. It's not like you have your life out here and you want to bring the Bible and apply to that life.
No. Your life is not out here. Your life is here. This is the reality. Even the world does not believe. But you believe. We have to live by faith. But very first thing is that you believe. Because everything has to come out from faith. Because anything that is not from faith is sin. This is very important. You know, we're not just teaching good things so that you could hear 10 good things and maybe, oh, you grab a couple good things and try to apply to your life. That's not Christianity. You have to come here. And you have to find yourself in this book. Because this book is the only thing that will tell you who you are and how your reality is. Nothing else will tell you that. You really want to know who you are? Meet Jesus Christ. That's the only way that you will know who you really are. Everything else is temporary and is false. Realize it now, not later. Because if you don't come to this book, that every idea you had, everything that you thought that was true, you know, who you are and what was your purpose, you will realize later that all that is just big lie. Because that is not who you are if you're a Christian. And you will realize that you have wasted all your life. And you're going to feel bad when you see Jesus Christ face to face. But we're Christians, brothers and sisters. We are the believers. And this is, we're not playing games here. This is actually what we believe. And we're willing to die for this. Believe that God lives in you. That's why you're involving God in everything that you do. God is right there with you. And He's not just watching. He is working. So you trust Him. Every time you fail, every time you sin, you trust God who is in you, who is working. Thank God that His work in me is not finished. Because there's one aspect that it is finished, but there's the other aspect that is continued. I'm sanctifying. I'm becoming more like Christ. But see, once you realize that power that is working in you, then, because of your faith, because of what you believe, now you do your best. Because by knowing that He is working, that your effort will not in vain. This is what drives us. Even as you do your best, you feel like you're failing and it's not working as you want it. But understand that work that you're doing is not in vain because God is working in us. He will make sure that you will be like Him. So never give up, never be discouraged. Like Paul, continue to work. See, our adequacy, our sufficiency, our competency is in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Jesus Christ is the true steward of God. He and He alone has perfectly and completely accomplished all that was entrusted Him by our God the Father. John chapter 17, verse 2 to 4, even as you gave Him authority, God is speaking about, Jesus is speaking about what God has done for Him. He says, even as you gave Him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given Him, He might give eternal life. That is eternal life, that they may know you and the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorify you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Jesus Christ is the true steward. Now in Him, you and I are also the stewards of God. So we carry out our duties by faith, always remembering what God has said to us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, continue to trust our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to hold fast our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. And you will hear His voice one day when you die. You will meet Him face to face and you will hear His voice telling you, well done, good and faithful servant. You will hear them. This is our eternal reality. See, when you look at yourself right now, you say, how will I ever gonna be like Christ? Look at what I do. Look at how I live. I mean, that is impossible. Of course it's impossible if it is up to you. Oh, not disagreeing with you when you say it's impossible. It is impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. So that whenever that happens, don't be discouraged. Of course you need to repent. And you're willing to now follow Christ. But never be discouraged. Trust Him. Because even as you examine yourself and you will never tell yourself, oh, I'm a good, faithful servant. But because of what Christ is doing in you, that you will hear this voice from your God. Well done, good and faithful servant. I guarantee it because the Bible tells us you will hear it. Which means you will be that person by the work of the Holy Spirit in you. This is how Paul lived. And God used Paul to show us how we should live. Let's live by faith. Always rejoicing.
Because we will hear this voice. I will be considered, and you will be considered by God as a good and faithful servant. This is all we need. Just hold on to that and never let go. Keep believing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made us stewards of you, that you entrusted to us this ministry, this witnessing, this proclaiming of Jesus Christ. So, Father, whether we are a pastor or elder or deacon or without any office, let us labor and strive according to the power that is working in us, your power. Always looking forward, even as we do our best, let us always know that we cannot do this on our own strength. So let us trust you, and let us have confidence that one day we will hear you telling us, well done, good and faithful servant. Oh Father, no matter how much we have to suffer and be persecuted and be lonely, just knowing that we'll hear those words from your lips, that is truly enough for us. We love you, God. We thank you. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.